Welcome to Beyond the Boundary, Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
How many special editions have we done of Beyond the Boundary, Jason Doherty?
Captain, when I said last week, I'll see you before Christmas, that didn't mean 7 days later.
Bits happened.
Well, I'm always worried when you ring me during the off-season.
There's no off-season.
One of two things that happened. One, we've all been culled and we're out. Or two, something's going on.
Something's going on. Something is legitimately going on. Now, this is being recorded at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. At 5 o'clock when you hear this, something will have been brewing when it comes to local football and netball. The terms sweeping changes gets bandied around quite a bit, but it's fair to say
sweeping changes.
There's going to be some restructure.
Oh, don't we love the word restructure?
Yeah, so that can be code for so many things. But to talk to us about this restructure and what it means for AFL Bowen and local football and netball, firstly, in the studio, the chair of AFL Bowen, Michelle Gertz. Gertzie, good afternoon to you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And on the phone, joining us from somewhere in the north of Victoria, is the deputy chair of AFL Bowen, Ash West. Ash, good afternoon to you.
Kingy, good afternoon. How are you? Hi, everybody.
Yeah, well, glad to have you on the phone. Gertzie, glad to have you in the studio. Right, let's start with it. The document has been released. We've got our hands on it here at Beyond the Boundary that talks to us about what's going to happen with AFL Bowen, restructure and governance going forward. Gertzie, I'll start with you as chair. Can you just give us a little bit of a snapshot of some of the key points of this document that we're going to be talking about over the next 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, look, I think probably the key thing to look at is AFL Bowen over the last 12 months has been looking at the structure and the governance, I suppose, of what we're doing here in Bowen, and looking at models around improvement. And it has been a 12-month process and it's been pretty intense. And what we've landed with is, I guess, trying to separate a little bit operationally from the regional structure that we're currently in. So to explain it probably quickly, currently AFL Bowen are looking at, you know, are responsible for the governance and operations of footy and netball in the region. Not all netball, but, you know, football and netball as we know it. That's become really a big task across the board, and we feel that as commissioners as well. But certainly in the team of AFL Bowen as well, you know, this is a really big piece of work. So one of the things that we've talked about was separating operations and the governance, I suppose, of the Bowen region, and this is football that we're talking about now, and that's probably the biggest piece. We've gone back to maybe football, netball, Geelong days to a lesser degree, and that, you know, the Peter Jackson review of 12 or 14 years ago sort of talked about regional centres coming together and shared services and those sorts of things, and we were probably already doing that, and we've added to that. But what we've looked at now is just really that the job is now too big, and it's with AFL Vic's involvement, probably more so in the last 3 or 4 years in this region, we felt that it was a really good step perhaps just to separate the two and allow for proper governance in the region. Not that it hasn't been proper, but like someone to focus on that governance, participation, game development more broadly, and then for a body of work to be done operationally and comp management and making sure all of our competitions are thriving across football and netball. So that's probably where we've landed today.
Ash, it's fair to say that the RACs that were put in place following the Peter Jackson report, and our RACs been in place since AFL Bowen came online in 2014, is it fair to say they've served their purpose, especially for our region? Because I think 11 or 14, I can't remember the number exactly, RACs were set up originally, and I think, you know, this will leave only two, I believe, once AFL Bowen comes offline.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think particularly what we see is our size, and so the way that the RACs were set up with those central administration hubs, trying to do a little bit of everything, trying to do the league operations across multiple leagues, plus all of the AFL Victoria initiatives around growth and participation, all those sorts of things, were fine for a time. But I think given the fact we've now got 25,000 participants plus in our region, trying to manage the operations plus all the logistical stuff that comes from AFL Victoria in one role, any one governing body, I just think became untenable for us. And you can see evidence of that through through local operations and some of the the issues that we have, even financially, we can see that there's impacts in the way that that growth happens, which means that I think they're untenable for organisations like ours. And I've tended to use a bit of an example when we've been talking about this of the metro models. So the metro models where they have a CEO of a league, and yes, they've got, there might be one league, but they've got multiple divisions, and that's kind of the model that we're looking at here, where we've got one central hub that's managing, in our case, multiple leagues, not multiple divisions. But that's very much the same model where they've got a CEO set up under that.
Michelle, you've said in this release, and also you've been talking about it for 12 months, from a commission perspective, I suspect. What, in terms of what else is happening in Victoria from the model, and we just said obviously only two racks left now, or regional administration centres, have you taken some feedback and ideas from what else is happening around the state as well?
Yeah, we have, and I think everything's been really different, and this is probably the key point, is bringing in the racks. The assumption was everything would be the same. Mm-hmm. And across the state, we know everything's different for a lot of different reasons. And I think from our perspective, it was, we're in a positive position here where we're implementing change because we can, not because we're financially struck or there's other issues going on. So this is a really proactive piece for us. So we've probably learned a little bit from what's happened around the state, and that's happened probably across the last 5 or 6 years. Those have started to change. And I think AFL Vic have been better at articulating what their plan is going forward too, that this is sort of something that they're really pleased to see happening, I think, to sort of decentralise a little bit and allow for that local operations competitions to really run their own shows.
So is it sort of like a hybrid model now, where AFL Victoria will run a part of what happens in the regional centres, but the local body will run governance and administration and the clubs and the leagues sort of thing?
I think the hybrid model is a good way to explain it, particularly for us. And this is something that I've been talking about a lot in the last few weeks, is that there's models out there that are, you know, completely sort of going back to the way they were, where the leagues will just run the leagues and everyone, you know, just back they go to the way it was 12 or 14 years ago. We don't want to do that. Mm. We're really, really focused and really passionate about regional football and netball and the competitions that we've grown in that time. And that's across, you know, Geelong, Ballerine, Geelong and District, Colac and District. So that's the four leagues and then the clubs involved with that. But look at women's football, look at junior football, look at all abilities football, look at our midweek netball. Yep. We're developing regional competitions here that we don't want to lose that.
Ash, what will be for the everyday punter, either the player at a local football netball club, the member who turns up on a Saturday to have a couple of beers and a pie from the canteen, will they see anything in terms of change physically, or is it just going to be something that will be, you know, very much, it won't sort of, what we're seeing at the moment won't change too much?
Yeah, I think the punter that turns up with a pie and a beer on the weekend to come and watch a game of footy is probably not going to notice massive difference. I think what where the real difference will be seen is in the clubs themselves. So the core focus of this was, how do we provide better support to our member clubs? And so they're going to see, in theory, a much better level of professionalism and communication and governance and operations than probably what they've been seeing over the recent times. And this is, again, I want to come back to the point, this is no fault of anybody's previously. This has just been continued growth. It's kind of stretched everybody. So making this change means that we can provide much better service at a much better professional standard because we're focusing some specific roles, in particular a CEO role, on those requirements of the club. So I think that's where the big difference is going to be. Hopefully the punters that turn up to watch the footy are still going to see a great standard of footy, competitive matches, juniors that are progressing through the pathways into senior footy, and the great netball that's been happening across multiple venues and things for a number of years. I think they'll still see the same outcomes there, but it's really that back-of-house administrative function that we're really looking to lift in professionalism.
Okay, so CEO, you're going to advertise, I believe, from Friday. Is that correct, Ash?
Yes, that's right.
Yep. So CEO appointed comes in over the top of Lisa Patterson, who is currently the region manager. But in terms of coming over the top of, Lisa's role at the moment has been split, I understand, a bit 50-50 AFL Vic, AFL Barwon. How does that role now operate as region manager? Has that become a more AFL Vic focused role?
Yeah, so if I can just touch on that. So it's not, the CEO's not necessarily coming in over the top of Lisa. Yeah. So Lisa's responsibilities, and it's important that people understand that Lisa is employed by the AFL. So Lisa's, and part of the reason as to why this role is really hard, Lisa's job description doesn't include anything about netball, for example, because it's included, it's an AFL role funded by AFL and focused on AFL participation, growth, and all the programs that they run. So that will still continue, and Lisa will still focus on that. And this really gives the region manager the opportunity to actually do the job that's in their PD, and give them the ability to be really successful in that role. And then split out from that is the CEO role, which manages the governance and the operations, and the day-to-day of managing, as I said before, 25,000 participants in competitions across summer and winter. And making sure that that's being done at a really professional and high standard. So they're two quite discrete roles, and Lisa's role will still continue to report through to the AFL, and the new CEO role will report through to the board of what was previously known as the Commission.
Michelle, the CEO role is one thing, but obviously we've been, Michael Limbs left it from a football perspective. You've also had some others move on during the year as well. So I suppose we were wondering what was happening. There was obviously something going on behind the, because it sort of hadn't announced any other sort of roles or anything yet. So does that give you the opportunity now to completely restructure, not just a CEO, but work out where you need to put the bodies to make sure that you actually can give that support to the clubs and the leagues?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good point. We probably need to be careful now as a board that we're not doing too much operationally in this space, but we know that there's roles that need to be filled in the operations team at the moment. So that's been worked on at the moment, and there'll be hopefully some announcements shortly in that space. The other piece of that, I suppose, is a new CEO wants to come in and have a look themselves and then sort of structure the way that they see fit too. So we need to, there's a little bit of balance probably between us pulling the trigger on too much, but still making sure that our team is supported and the clubs are supported moving into the next season.
The CEO of the Northern Football Netball League has just resigned in the last few weeks, so he might be a candidate. He's run a league that is exactly pretty much like AFL, but, well, whatever it's going to be called, we'll get to that shortly, but with multiple competitions and, like, it's a big hybrid sort of league now, which is exactly what AFL Bowen's going to look like.
Yeah, it is. And that's right. I think it's a great role for someone that's looking, you know, in the football, netball sort of operational space, but that real management and leadership piece too. So, you know, I think it'll be really popular. Hopefully, get a few applicants.
Ash, you're not thinking about leaving WorkSafe and applying for the role and jumping off the board?
Sounds like a really hard role, doesn't it?
It's probably easier at WorkSafe for you, mate.
So the term board and commission sort of has been used interchangeably at the moment. So can somebody clarify? So the commission as it is will cease to exist and a board will be formed using the current commissioners, but also the chairs of the GFNL and the Bellarine.
Yeah, confusion here a little bit until we work out what things are called. So let's say that the new entity would be a board. At the moment, we're looking at reforming the current constitution, though. So we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We've got a piece of work there that exists and we've got a structure that exists. So if we can work through that and change that, that would be optimum. But legal comes into that too. So we've got to have those conversations over the next few weeks around, you know,
somebody's making
that
money.
Any pro bonos out there?
Good time to be a consultant.
Michael Vines, I'm looking at you.
I'll just throw him under the bus. Perfect.
Well, yes.
Well, come on, Michael.
Well, he knows somebody on the commission. He's got a relative.
Yeah. Come on.
It's
come
true,
on,
he does.
Push
true.
Up, Michael. Push up.
Yes.
So I think we've got that work to do first. But, yes, the one of the really key changes is that we would like to see the presidents or chairs of the Geelong and Bellarine League boards step in on the commission, and we want to facilitate that process and provide a I guess a mouthpiece on behalf of the clubs that will be sitting on the commission / board going forward.
Right. So the cynical listening to this, and you've known me long enough to know that I'm sometimes cynical, but not on this, but I do have to ask the question because people will say, is this to appease the Bellarine who have been vocal about, you know, that their future may not necessarily lie under AFL Bowen, that they now have a seat at the table?
No, not necessarily. This is part of the discussion we've had for 12 months. So I think, you know, Ash and I and the rest of the commission at the starting point of probably November last year were always talking about how we can, I don't know, build the bridge I guess, and make sure that there was a communication stream. Hmm. And I'll go back. Let's talk 20, 30 years ago. There's an expectation that a board member of our structure would go to all the halftime functions of senior football games and have a beer and all that sort of stuff. Things have changed. Hmm. It's physically hard to get to 52 clubs in the region.
Yep.
So what we were thinking was the chairs of the boards were sort of a little silent in the last sort of 10 or 12 years, but why not step them up and why not include them in the overall structure and let them be part of what we're building?
How's Fitzy going to cope not being at Motawarri every week?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him that, I think.
He's on the next podcast.
He didn't think about that, did he?
So my question for you, Ash, and Gertie, jump in if you need to, is what does this mean financially? So AFL Vic have obviously provided financial support. I suspect they continue to fund Lisa's role. But does AFL Bar need to go looking for more Kanga to fund a CEO, because they don't come cheap?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when we obviously announced the results of our end of financial year last year in the annual report, we announced a fairly big loss. We said at that meeting that we needed to do a complete structural review because this is obviously not sustainable. By the way, there was no other country league across Victoria that made a profit last year, so that's a problem. And when we've gone back and had a look at that, clearly we've looked at a whole range of things, sponsorship, affiliation fees, competition fees, all those sorts of things, to look at what does a sustainable model look like. And when we had this in mind around what does the restructure of the roles, and you spoke before about the fact we've had a few people who have exited the organisation for various reasons, and that's an opportunity for us to look at what that structure and how the money gets apportioned across all those roles. So we've done that work. Now, what you tend to see, particularly because we've had such big growth, is that a number of the competitions weren't actually sustainable in their own right. So they were being propped up by sponsors and those sorts of things, which is fine at one level, and that's why sponsors provide money, because they provide opportunities for people to participate in sport and not have to pay the full whack. The sponsors are sort of helping chip in a little bit with that. But at the end of the day, when you start to then increase the number of competitions that are being played, that means if those competitions aren't necessarily profitable in their own right, or making at least breaking even, then that eats into the money that you've got. So that sort of talks to why we had the issues around the funding. So we've made a number of changes this year. Some of that is affiliation fees and things. Clearly still continuing to look at sponsors. We're restructuring the organisation. This has been a whole total revamp of everything that we've been doing. This is not just trying to go, oh, how do we take this role and turn that into this role and keep the same money? This has been a complete revamp of everything.
Yep. So it won't come at a cost to the clubs, though, Ash, and that's probably what they're probably most interested in. Are they going to get a hit to the hip pocket to make this happen?
Well, as I said, there has been some changes to the affiliation fees and things. We've already announced that to clubs for this year.
Yep.
And some of that's not necessarily just driven by these changes. Some of it's driven by the fact that we haven't put prices up since 2021, and in that time there's been massive changes in everything pretty much.
Yes.
So that, when I say we've looked at everything from top to bottom, that has looked at what are the affiliation fees and things that clubs and participating teams play, and that will be a change for 2026.
Okay.
Now, Michelle, most people won't care about what's going on, really, except for the name. We've got to have a name for the new league, because that's what people care about. They don't care about how it actually gets run. They just worry about that at finals time, or, you know, where we're playing grand finals and things like that. So in terms of a name, are you allowed to use AFL? Are you allowed to use that moniker? Are you...
Well, we
is
don't.
There, is
we
there
actually,
are there any restrictions
yeah,
to
look,
what you can and can't do?
Not really, but using AFL is restrictive in its sense, because we're footy and netball.
Yep.
So I think this is another really key driver. And, you know, a lot of things I've probably been banging on about for 9 years on this thing is the visibility of netball in an AFL Bowen named organisation.
Yep.
So we're in a position now to make sure that we name the organisation going forward to represent both sports.
Sport Geelong? I don't know, just come up with something.
Nah, it can't have Geelong. Because it's got to encompass the region.
I think it's got to be Bowen.
Right.
Yeah.
Sport Bowen? Bowen Sport? Well, you can't do that.
No. Ooh. Cam Loftus.
Ooh, Cam. Cam will be very disappointed.
It's getting a bit tricky, isn't it?
You're running out of names.
When are we starting the competition?
That's right. will we stay under the AFL Bowen banner for 2026?
Look, it'll depend on what happens with the constitutional changes.
Yep.
The idea of this is that we've got a 12-month transition. So in our discussions with AFL Victoria, everything is about next year and then 2027 season, sort of things changing from that. So one massive change from next year will be a CEO coming in, yes.
Yep.
I would suspect that the name itself will probably linger for next year as well until we
people
work
still
out
what call
we're doing.
It Footy Geelong.
Well, that's right. That's right. Football Netball Geelong might be back, but it can't be. We need Bowen in there. You're yep. right. So I think it just depends.
Football Netball Bowen.
It could be that. It could be as simple as that.
Yep.
It could be. I mean, I don't know whether we need to overcomplicate things.
Yep.
That's a pretty good representation of what we do.
Are we trying? Yeah. Are we trying to be funky for no reason?
Possibly.
Whatsoever. Mm. Just bowl medium paces instead of trying to tweak the thing.
That's it.
Absolutely. Worked for me. Ash, I just wanted to know from a, like, we're obviously hearing about it today and it'll be released shortly to the public. In terms of the relationship between the commission and the clubs, in terms of their information up until now, like, in terms of it, there will be no surprises for the clubs. I suspect they know what's going to be happening today and moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had end-of-season president's meetings. So we had Geelong League presidents last week, and I gave them an update on what was happening there. And we had the Bellarine presidents a few weeks ago and gave them an update on the moves there. And certainly before these communications go out, we'll be communicating with the chairs or the presidents of both of those leagues to make sure that they're comfortable and on board with what's happening. So, and we've been in constant dialogue, particularly with Mick and Peter Kelly as well, around these changes. So no, certainly no surprises from that point of view. And we're also planning on having a town hall session in early December where we'll bring everybody together along with AFL Victoria to talk in a bit more detail about what that means from a club perspective.
All right, and the GDFNL and the Colac and District League, who you have service agreements with, Ash, they all will remain in place no matter the name, no matter the structure, that you'll continue to provide that regional support?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, no changes there. And I should have said that those presidents have also been communicated with as well. But, yeah, no changes from that perspective for 26.
One last thing for Nev to deal with before he toddles off into the sunset.
Oh, you must have got him between pina coladas in Thailand. But anyway, because he's been overseas. What was I going to say? I was going to say, you've done extremely well to keep it away from number four over here. Because it's the first he heard about it yesterday. He was straight on the blower to me. If this has been humming along for 12 months, Kingy, I don't know how you've kept him out of it, Michelle. You've done well.
I've no response to that.
Well, we knew.
I actually thought you knew something when I talked to you, so you did well to play it with a straight bat.
Well, we knew something was up because you've pushed the AGM back to February next year.
Yeah, we thought that was a bit strange.
Yeah, you don't do that unless there's something going on. You try and knock it over in November and give everybody a bit of a
I just
of
wanted
spell.
To be the chair for another few months. That was all it was.
No, you didn't.
Yep.
No, you didn't. You did not. Based on what you said on grand final day.
You were out the door. You'd had it up.
This is just prolonging the agony. So that leads me to the next question. Ash, are you the next chair of whatever this body is called?
Yes, that's the intention. Yes, absolutely. So, really keen to step into that role at some point whenever Michelle decides that she's ready to let go. and I think it's an exciting phase. I mean, there's a number of things here that have been since I've started have kind of been percolating away as a little bit of a thorn in our side. But I think this has really been able to come along and resolve some of those issues. So I'm really excited to be able to take that forward.
Congratulations, Ash, on the first person to use percolating on the podcast as well. I don't think that's been used.
How do you spell that, Tom? No, just keep going. Move forward. Move forward.
I failed English. Me fail English? That's impossible.
That's impossible.
Yeah, thank you. Great Ralph Wiggum.
He's a journo and he failed English.
Oh, I did not fail English.
There we go. Let's hope not.
Paul Tobias will be
worried.
He was my Year 12 English teacher up at St Joseph's.
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to touch on, Jace? Have we covered everything?
Oh, I think so. Gee whiz, this is meaty. I'll tell you. This is so in terms of then the way it works from a points, salary cap, Premier League status versus others, like obviously the Ballerina have been talking to you about that, what changes from that perspective for moving forward?
Yeah, good question. I think at the moment the commission has a subcommittee that is sort of looking at those sorts of things. I think going forward the intention is that would become more of an AFL Victoria role. Mm-hmm. We've got some work to do to work out what that looks like going forward. And I think the town hall meeting will probably utilise that to talk more about what that can look like, probably at the end of next year. So for 2026, everything would stay as per normal.
Okay. Can we read into this, and I know you probably can't answer for Mick Fitzgerald, but do we read into this that when on November 26, I think their AGM is, as the G finale is, when they go, yes, we're staying aligned AFL Barn, do we read into this that's what's happening, or are you still up in the air as to what their future is?
Oh, look, my thought process is absolutely that that would be what would occur. There's been nothing said to us recently, and Ash can probably talk to a little bit more because he was at those recent meetings and I wasn't, but there's been nothing that suggested that there's any breakaways or anything of those thoughts currently.
Ash, can we throw that to you?
Yeah, I think a number of these the conversations that we've been having have largely been around the Premier League stuff, which is in relation to points and the bit of status. So that's been an ongoing conversation that we've been supporting the Bellarine League with AFL Victoria. There's no specific changes for that for next year. But also, I guess there's some operational things as well, which we've been working through with them too. So we've been able to make some really good progress on those over the course of the back end of this year. And again, I think the changes that we're making here continue to reinforce some of the pain points or resolving some of those pain points. So I don't see any changes going forward. To be frank, I've been a bit disappointed in some of the reporting that's come out around this as well. So, and I just wanted to re-emphasise the point that Michelle made earlier. What we've been doing has been worked on for quite some time. This is not a knee-jerk reaction to anything that's actually happening or that's been reported. So I just want to be really clear about that as well. This has been a really proactive change that we're making. So I think it's really positive.
All right, we've got fixture dates. Now we're just moving on. Nothing else here, Jace, on this?
No, we're done. Right. No, we're done.
So just a couple of quick things. Ash, probably more aimed at you being the incoming chair, is that we saw season dates for next year. It looks like the Bellarine Grand Final is actually going to shuffle a bit later to September 19, and that would probably mean the GFNL Grand Final will again be on the public holiday Friday before the AFL Grand Final.
Yep, that's correct. And Bellarine's got an extra game they've got to fit in, so that all works.
It's going to be, and now also too, that becomes a 21-week season, so 20 rounds, 18 home and away, two byes, but there's still going to be potentially a bye in July around the school holiday, so two clubs unfortunately going to cop the double bye.
Yes, that's right.
All right, cool. All right,
off you go on holidays. Off you go. It'd be perfect.
Well, if you like the snow.
They do it anyway, so.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They go away for 6 weeks. Doesn't matter whether they have two byes.
If you like, I tell you, there might be a couple of clubs that, you know, with older lists that might go
hankering for that.
Yeah. Ammos, I'm looking at you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Torquay, I'm looking
Faz
at you.
Faz will be on the phone at 6:30 tonight. You watch.
Making that happen.
Yeah.
Ash, thank you to you for joining us on the phone. I know you're on leave at the moment, but to take the opportunity to have a chat to us, we do appreciate. Gertie, thank you for coming in. We appreciate AFL Barn's collaboration on this, that we can have an extended conversation. Sometimes press releases, media statements and online articles don't necessarily tell the full story. But
Well, we like exclusives on Beyond the Boundary. We like being first with the news.
Yeah, we
That's
do.
Good.
Because when we don't like it.
No, we arc up.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
We tell people about it.
Yes.
Which is why they come and see us. I like
they
it.
They don't like it when we arc up.
Ash. No, they've done well.
Ash, thanks for joining us. So we'll continue to let you enjoy your break, and look forward to catching up with you at the Town Hall meeting, which will be at this stage Thursday, December 4, time and venue to be confirmed.
Yep, very good. Thanks, Kingy. Thanks, Jase. Appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
And Gertie, thank you to you as well. Appreciate it. Yes, and your tenure drags out for 3 months longer than
you
were hoping.
Let's squeeze another pod in between time.
Oh,
we?
That'll be well and truly. Actually, we'll do the best of Gertie.
We'll take a quick break back shortly. Thanks, Gertie. Thanks, Ash. We'll be back shortly on Beyond the Boundary.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
So thank you to Michelle Gertz and Ash West for joining us just to talk us through that restructure. So significant.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of, as has been alluded to, a lot of work, 12 months worth of work has gone into that, and a new era. And one thing I did take away from it, I think Ash admitted that AFL Barn, and he said not through anybody's fault, but the size of what they're running probably got away from them a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it's definitely a response to the clubs.
Yeah.
Like, I think from in terms of the relationship that they that the league has with the clubs. I mean, the clubs run the league pretty much.
Yes.
So it's how has that, you know, communication been channeled? How has it worked previously? I think this is the new frontier, which is the clubs have to be involved in that.
I think we needed a reset, and this is the reset.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we all sort of felt a little bit like, and it just felt like the time was right.
They couldn't keep going the way it was.
No, that's exactly right. There had been some change internally anyway. I think there'd been some conversations. Obviously, we'd spoken to a few people outside of the the AFL Barwon bubble that was sort of looking for some change. So it looks like it's going to be positive.
Yep. A little bit of news around. Michael Hurley. Not the former Bomber.
No, not spelt the same way.
But coach of Swan Hill.
Yes.
Played some very good footy at Numurkah and South Bendigo. Has signed with Port Arlington. He's coming off an ACL at age 30. Won't be available till round 5. But he was sought after.
He's a very good player.
Yeah, and he was highly sought after on the Bellarine.
Assistant coach too as well?
Ford's assistant coach.
Ford's assistant coach, yes.
So he signed. Just saw that Jed Evans is returning to Belmont Lions.
He is, yes. What is old is new again. Just return.
What else have we seen signing-wise? Oh, one that caught my eye, and only because his father was a very, very good player, and he was a long-sleeve specialist, Brent Dixon at Torquay. His young fella Roy's going to Thompson.
Yes. Yes, there's a couple of going to Thompson, isn't there? Max Pesanti's going there as well. Yes, yes, yes.
So Max hasn't played any senior footy.
No.
Roy played 3 games this year.
I think so, yes.
Wore the 36 like the old man.
Yes.
So that's handy for Thompson.
Absolutely.
A bit of movement. I think it's Tom Gibson signed at Bannockburn.
They've picked up some players.
Come from Birchip.
Yes.
Jackie Broman's back.
They got a couple of extras there. They're going all right.
Henry Hawker. I think that might have caught Leopold by surprise.
Not too happy down at the Lions Den, I don't think, with that one. So that's going to be, they're going to be okay, Bannockburn.
Yes.
They're improving.
I did the numbers.
Is Kariah called West Preston Lakeside now?
This
4 or 5 from
there? The latest one they picked up from old Ivanhoe looks like he goes. Dave Waldron.
Yeah.
Looks like he goes very good.
I think they played in B grade too of the
AFA.
So
yes,
that's,
they did.
That's a very good competition.
Yep. And I think he kicked some goals at under. He played first 18 at Ivanhoe in the AGS.
The other public schools.
Yeah,
the other ones who think they're the APS.
The other private school.
Don't go there.
Competition.
Yes, yes.
What else have I
seen? Did I see Tom Gorrell's go to the VAFA from Amos?
Yes, he's going to the VAFA.
Is he going to the Ogs?
Well, I haven't been told which club.
Oh, I bet you he is.
I just got told it was VAFA.
Yeah, I bet you he is.
Right.
Yes.
Guess who don't sue?
Oh, no. What have you done now?
Which premiership player? Won't name the league, but has been linked with a uni club.
Ooh, really?
Yep.
Hello.
Yes. We'll add some speed to that team is all I will say.
Right. Fair enough.
Work that one out. Right. Dig a bit deeper. No more out of Surf Coast this week.
No, it's been a quiet week for Surf
Coast.
They
officially start training next Thursday.
Do they?
Yep. That's their first pre-season. A couple of clubs are starting to sort of roll back now, so information will start coming through.
I'm sure. Have we spoken completely about the James Gow, Ron Watt coaching scenario in St. Joseph's?
No.
So, co-coaching?
Is that transition? Is that Ron one more year and Gow?
Well, you'd never know because Ron wouldn't tell you. Maybe, yes. And obviously he's got aspirations to be a full-time coach.
He's got great football knowledge,
so
as we know.
Yeah, that's. I tell you what, they're highly skilled in the coaching department with his Royal Highness Mr. Hood as well and a couple of others floating around.
I tell you, I was down at Little Athletics on Saturday.
So,
some fairly handy league players there. Nathan Brown of the Collingwood variety.
Yes.
Peter Street. Andrew Shawbel.
Well, yes, he lives in the town now.
Collingwood,
Andrew.
Sydney. What does he head up? Geelong
Food Relief.
CEO.
Yes, CEO.
So I was having a quick chat with him.
Yes.
Some pretty handy local footballers. You will remember Anthony Kilsby.
Oh, yes.
From North Geelong with the Dreddies.
Yes.
He plays Gaelic.
Does he really? Yeah.
So he's tied up with the Geelong Gaels.
Okay, right.
He has given me a private message, and I'm sure he's happy for me to
mention this. Too late if he's not.
Yep. So summer football has kicked off, summer Gaelic. It's at Hurst Reserve.
Right, yes.
7 teams playing.
Right.
And if you're interested, there's also juniors called the Grasshoppers. They've kicked off. He's a junior coordinator every Sunday morning from 10 o'clock. And the Australasian Gaelic Games were recently held as well. A member of the Gaels team was part of the winning Victorian hurling team.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
There you go.
So if you like Gaelic, they offered it at St. Joey's. It was one of our sports.
Really?
And we did. It was fun as.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Little solos and
yeah, right.
Stuff like that. And nice. Then obviously Mark O'Connor's gone home and won for Dingle.
Yes.
Won the Kerry title.
That's nice of the footy club to let him go.
Yeah.
Under contract.
Well, I think that's all part of the, I would say, the contract. Because yeah. Mark O'Connor's alluded to whether he would see it out right to the end of his AFL career.
Yeah.
And I think to keep him, the Cats have gone, well how do we make this work? Well,
is that the first time they've won it in like 70 years?
Yeah,
yep. That's amazing. He might not be back for pre-season in time.
Just Bell Post Hill. Ethan Coffey from South Barwon.
Has gone there.
You see Joel Hogan's gone from Anglesey to Dan Anglesey from South Barwon as well.
Yep.
They've got a lot of kids coming there. They're under 18, South Barwon.
They have.
Bell Post Hill have a new president.
Yes.
Brett Osborne.
The great Brett Osborne. Yep. Yes. Been a good player at Bell Post Hill.
Daniel Stone, vice president. Jordan Flacavento is treasurer.
The great Flacavento. Yeah.
And Barry Reid will be their footy boss, Joe McMahon, their secretary. So good to see that as well. Haven't heard a huge amount out of a couple of clubs, but there will be a little bit of stuff to come. And I'll no doubt ring you and we'll do a podcast between now and Christmas.
Well, let's do one before Christmas, yeah. Tom. Hey, yeah. What do you reckon?
I'll see you then.
All right, then.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.